Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Yes. Morena.
Morena, Lara.
Oh, morena. How are you two?
We're good. How are you?
Yeah, getting back into it. After a bit of an illness, but, you know, politics never stops, does it? Just never stops.
No rest for the wicked.
Not even, there's no sick leave in politics, which sucks.
No. And it keeps going, and I was, like, sitting there on Waitangi Day, quite unwell, but, like, what's happening?
Yeah. What did you think of Waitangi Day this year?
I was following a lot of the Te Pāti Māori related stories because I think one of the big lessons I've had, I've kind of been in and around sort of the political commentary side of politics since about 2020. And as an academic who teaches and writes on, you know, electoral politics, New Zealand politics, Māori politics, one big lesson I've learned is don't try and predict the Māori seats ever. And this kind of Kiri Tamahiri Waititi's actions during the haka and crossing the marae ātea to challenge Eru Kapakingi, that just kind of highlighted to me the fact that, hey, don't try and predict this. This whole year, just kind of be like, I don't know what's going to happen in the Māori seats, rather than trying to make a bet. Make bets to your mates. Don't go out there and say, I think this will happen or I think that will happen, because ultimately, you know, there are so many intersecting, exciting, interesting factors in Māori electoral politics. And yeah, some of it's tikanga, some of it's current events, some of it's changing demography and all of that, and it's all mixed together into ...
Yeah, well, on that, New Zealand First has confirmed it'll campaign on a referendum on Māori seats this year, and it's had quite some intense reactions from people. Winston Peters is, you know, saying some out-the-gate stuff as per. What do we make of this?
Yeah, so this is a classic kind of issue that Winston Peters... I mean, Winston Peters has been in politics for, like, 50 years, so he does just pull out his classic records, whack them on the record player and go, you know, put them on, whatever it is. And this is kind of one of them. Interestingly, he did actually run for a Māori seat, and then in 1996, the group of Māori MPs, everyone refers to them as the Tight Five, I guess because they were friends, they won the electorates in 1996, all five of them, because they're five at the time, Māori electorates. So Winston's had an interesting history with them, and this is something, a debate that's come up time and time again. I think potentially for a lot of younger people, they wouldn't have seen this debate so much, because John Key, his government from 2008 onwards, that was elected then, they partnered with Te Pāti, the first version of Te Pāti Māori, the Māori Party, under Tari Anatiria. And also, he just kind of thought, oh, well, that's not really an issue he was looking to kind of get momentum on after the previous National Party leader, Don Brash, did his infamous Orewa speech about so-called race relations, and kind of part of that was, hey, get rid of the Māori seat. So John Key kind of, I guess, kind of tampered down the kind of flames or whatever it was, or just kind of just was like, hey, everyone, stop. Māori seat's here to stay. He'd actually had this line, there would be hikoi from hell if he ever got rid of them. That was one of his classic kind of lines about them. And so he was just like, nah, don't need to get rid of these. Now, Winston Peters is making the argument that Te Pāti Māori and their behaviour at the moment proves that we need to get rid of the Māori electorates, and that there are actually a lot of MPs, Māori MPs, MPs of Māori descent in Parliament. So those have been his two big arguments to date. And again, I just think this is something that we can expect to see come up from time to time. The Māori seats, proponents of the Māori seats say, well, we need to entrench them. They're de facto entrenched in reality. The Speaker ruled that not long ago. So entrenchment in New Zealand law, there's what, six provisions in all of our laws that are what are called entrenched, and you need either 75% of the MPs in the Parliament to vote for it, which is like a lot, right? It's pretty hard cross-partisan thing. Or you need to get a referendum and get more than half of the public vote. So see, Winston's trying to go down that referendum route. It's going to be really hard for National, though, because National, it's another treaty principles bill. That was kind of what Mark Dalder, writing in Newsroom, called it. And for National, like, I think it's a really interesting thing where, like, Māori are increasingly more and more of the population. And what we know from all sorts of survey studies and stuff is most Māori, the vast majority of rangatahi, are very proud to be Māori. And so getting rid of the Māori electorates will create a bit of a kind of intergenerational issue for National. We know that voters, over things like the seabed and foreshore kind of legislation, we know that voters, Māori voters do remember, do kind of still distrust National and Labour over that kind of Aotearoa speech, Don Brash, you know, that kind of quite heavy period. So, yeah, it's one of those things where National is going to have to be really careful to, like, minimise it, but then they're going to be reliant on New Zealand First at the end of the day. So I don't know what's going to happen there, basically. But one thing I would say is that if we did go to a referendum, overall, in that Māori wards referendum, or in the different referenda on the Māori wards across the country in the last local government election, overall, if you add up all the votes, the Māori wards did win. So that's a kind of piece of hope for supporters of the Māori electorates at this point.
Yeah, well, I guess it's like not necessarily something that people should be hugely worried about, maybe, but it is sort of a little bit alarming, because I was reading this piece about the reactions to it, and, you know, Te Pāti Māori co-leader Rawiri Waititi is sort of like, this is, you know, don't pay any attention to it, it's rage baiting. But then also sort of tries to say that Winston Peters, you know, is going down in popularity and is irrelevant, but in reality the latest poll is showing that New Zealand First is up, and both major parties have seen their support decline, and it's just like, oh man, I think we've been here before.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've got this really interesting trend all around the world, except the US. I've got a PhD student looking at it, actually, who is American, and is like, why is this happening everywhere except in my country? But minor parties climbing. So major parties, you know, you've always, in a lot of kind of those Westminster-inspired democracies, the kind of Anglosphere, whatever we want to call it, all of those countries kind of having the major party vote decline. And with time, and in New Zealand, it's collapsing. And that's what we've seen. Like, the graph just goes down over the years for the Labour and National vote. So you're seeing this rise of minor parties. We see the Greens up, but we see New Zealand First and ACT up as well. There's not another left-wing party there to kind of to soak up more of that vote. So that it's basically looking better and better for this kind of right bloc coalition in the polling. And that's just the way that things are sort of trending right now. I mean, I would also say, you know, I'm never going to try and predict the Māori seats, but no one should really try to predict an election this far out. At this point, if you looked at the Canadian and Australian elections when you were this far out, like, you would just have had no idea. Like, you just wouldn't predict the amount of kind of uncertainty and turmoil and world events that change things domestically. Huge.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, this is just kind of where the polls are right now, is that the right bloc is looking pretty good because of that, especially that boost to Winston Peters and New Zealand First. And, like, I think most of the commentary around that is this idea that, well, people are annoyed. People feel like they're not being listened to. And sometimes people get really grumpy. And Winston Peters is kind of soaking up a lot of that grumpiness because, yeah, like, I think politics, part of the major party decline is that politics being done the same way, despite all of the challenges we have now, isn't very satisfying to people.
I want to talk a little bit about the Opportunity Party, because this is, I mean, I guess on that topic of, you know, support falling for major parties, opening up a bit more space for smaller parties, could we see support for the Opportunity Party increase to, a level where they might actually get into Parliament?
It's such a big question and such an interesting question that day. So I'm really interested in following their campaign. So the Opportunities Party was called TOP originally, and it started by Gareth Morgan a few elections ago, who's an economist, really wanted to be like what people call technocrat, or like very based on evidence and, you know, let's write a sort of 50-page white paper and then decide on the policy based on that, which is not really how policy's done in New Zealand, if I'm honest. So he wanted to do that, but he got distracted. He said a few silly things, like something about Jacinda Ardern being lipstick on a pig or something kind of misogynist like that. So they kind of went down, and then there's been a couple of leaders who, both former leaders report that people will go up to them and say, I really like TOP, but hey, I'm not voting for you guys because you're never going to get 5%, which is probably quite gutting to hear when you're a political party leader.
Yeah.
So in New Zealand, you've got to win a seat or get to 5%. That's the threshold under MMP. 5% of the party vote is about 144,000, 150,000 votes. So if you think about that, there's about like 3 million odd people that vote. You got to win that many. So it's doable, but we haven't really seen anyone much do it that is not an established party or is not part of kind of a movement out of an existing party or MPs leaving. So we'll wait and see. You know, Kule Wong, who's their new leader, got selected through like job ads, just applied for the job. It was quite amusing. They did this kind of open leader search. Mm. She seems to be an absolutely excellent candidate, you know, the kind of person that you would want to have go into politics. Great corporate background, bit of sustainability in there, and just kind of seems to be charming people and quite strong in terms of media interviews. So there we go. We'll see how she goes. She's going to be running in Mount Albert, which is one of the electorates I live in, although Tāmaki Makaurau, I'm on the Māori roll, but, you know, cool, you know, great. I'll be watching it quite close hand, actually, because Mount Albert's meant to be a safe Labour seat, but last time round there were, like, was it 20, 30, for like a very low number of votes in it between Labour and National.
Yeah, it was like 18 or something.
It's a sensible one for them to run in. I actually was wondering if the Greens would make a real strong run here. It's one of those electorates that is quite... I'm on the Māori roll, are quite an educated electorate, a lot of urban professionals, but also a lot of people quite concerned about, you know, things such as housing and like, well, you know, what's new, what will keep my kids in New Zealand, all of those sorts of things. So very interesting group of kind of, yeah, probably more urban liberals and some very nice houses in the electorate, to be honest. So we'll see what happens in this electorate. I think it's going to be a very exciting race.
Very excited
to be able to observe it.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to watch, and it's going to be interesting to see how discussion sort of unfolds about it all, because, you know, it being a previously safe Labour seat and then being quite a close call last election, I feel like there'd be lots of people from the left who are quite critical of you know, top and potentially, if the Greens were to campaign pretty hard on Mount Albert, quite critical of sort of splitting the vote in that way.
Yeah, and I can see the Greens potentially doing that. Ricardo Menendez March ran last time and actually performed pretty well, so I can see it being one of the profiles that matches their agenda. But then on the other hand, the other thing that we have to consider is that opportunities, because they've called themselves opportunities now and they've got a new logo and all that, which is a subtle rebrand. We're all going to still call them top. I still call them. So opportunities are going to be, like, they are probably quite a sensible party to do a deal with. So I was on spoke at the New Zealand Economic Forum last week, and I was on a panel with good old Peter Dunn, who's like, a real stalwart of New Zealand politics in the Ohariu electorate, who got in off and on a deal. And, you know, if you look at opportunities last time round, they were saying that, you know, cut us a deal, let us run, and then, you know, National, you won't need to work with New Zealand First. And I think the argument here would be, hey, Labour, you can work with us and not Te Pāti Māori, which might suit Te Pāti Māori quite well as well, so they can maintain their independence and maybe do a few little deals. So that would be a really interesting kind of deal or way to go about doing things. And we have to remember that this is a strange election over the past 30 years or so, because as far as I can tell, there are no parties sitting in the centre. There's the odd rumblings that, New Zealand First could maybe go both ways, but I don't reckon. You know, I don't think so. I don't actually think so. But, you know, if you had opportunity enter the race in a strong way and, you know, capture that 5% and all that electorate, you would have another kind of centre-sitting party, which is something that our kind of system does need in terms of making an effective coalition, having enough potential options, being able to play coalition partners off one another, and all of those bits and pieces that means that we don't get trapped in a left bloc, right bloc split.
That it kind of almost makes me feel a little bit better, because I feel like when I looked at the poll and it was just like, Major party support dipped, New Zealand First up, it was like, every election's the same. But yeah. maybe there's room for some interesting stuff to happen this year.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm one of my things, I'm like, I swear this election, you know, sometimes I just get like a real bee in my bonnet.
Yeah.
This time I'm running around and I think saying, you know, I'm part of this independent electoral law review, we said, hey, lower the threshold, the 2012 MMP report review was lower the threshold. The 1986 Royal Commission said about a 4% threshold seemed right, so that would drop the number of votes to entry for new parties. And I think, you know, we've seen all of these very well-funded parties try to get to the 5% and not do it. So I think maybe we need to have a conversation as a country about dropping that threshold to 4%, or like, I'd do 2.5%, you know. Anyway, the people will have their favourite percentages when they look into it. I've got a mate who says, abolish the threshold. You know,
oh, man. We'd probably get some, like, cookers in Parliament if we abolished the threshold, wouldn't we?
We would. That'd be 0.8% of the vote. So that would be a bit interesting. But if you have 2.5%, that's 3 MPs. So that gives you a good, like, it's still like 100,000 votes. You know, it's still quite a bit. But the party would have about 3 MPs, which is enough people to try and do something.
Fascinating stuff. I can't wait to talk more this year about it all and see how it all unfolds. But thank you so much, Lara, for joining us for another insightful kōrero.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Lara.
You too. We'll talk to you next week.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.